Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel, sitting right next to me over here. And every weekend, we're here and we're doing life together, and we're so glad that you've joined us. So, Chris, you've kind of been in a new job now for a little bit of time. How's it going?
Well, if you must know, I was just fired yesterday.
Okay, they can't see your face, but
right.
You had me going there for about 5 seconds.
Dead
teasing,
serious.
Right?
Got you. That's
no,
right.
How's it going? Seriously.
Not too bad. I think things are okay. It's, yeah, I feel pretty good about it, I think.
Well, so you've got a great new job. You were given a promotion. You've got more responsibility. And you're the co-host of this great and wonderful weekend radio show.
Very good point. But sometimes it just doesn't feel real. And I think, what am I doing? Am I really qualified to be doing this? Do I have enough talent? I wonder if I'm good enough or if someone else should be doing this because they're probably better. Or sometimes I even ask myself if I'm a fraud.
Okay. You're kidding, right?
Maybe, maybe not.
What does that mean?
I do have a few of these thoughts every now and then, and like maybe I just lucked out or, you know, really don't deserve any success. But then I know, because of faith, that luck really has nothing to do with it.
So those kinds of thoughts do go through your head?
They do.
Okay. Well, mm-hmm. If you've ever felt like that, if you've ever felt like you don't belong or like your friends or your colleagues are going to discover that you're a fraud, like Chris was saying, and you don't actually feel like you deserve the job or the accomplishments, you know what? You're not alone if you have those feelings. Those feelings are known as imposter syndrome, or what psychologists often call imposter phenomena.
So it has a name.
It has a name.
Huh. And the data shows that an estimated 70% of people experience these imposter feelings at some point in their lives. That's a lot of people.
I know. 70% seems really high, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
Although I can think of fleeting times where I've been in a job and I think, I don't think I'm qualified, or I'm
right.
Wondering why they put me in this job. So it really does affect all kinds of people, men, women, medical students, which I'll talk about in a minute, marketing managers, actors, executives, anybody. So what we're describing here is when we started this conversation is a little secret that sometimes people who are high achievers have and they don't share with too many people. They're feeling really deep down that they are complete frauds and that their accomplishments are only a result of luck. And they believe that they're inadequate or incompetent, despite the evidence that says they're actually quite skilled and quite successful. I mean, had you ever heard of this before?
Not really, but the first question that comes to mind is, we're not talking about a false modesty. We really believe this stuff.
Yes.
People believe this stuff.
Yeah.
So it's totally psychological. It's in your head. Even though you do feel like a fraud or an imposter, you do have a record of achievement, and you just doubt it or don't believe it.
Right. So it is this kind of psychological thing that you're thinking of, and it helps us to know, maybe it helps us to know, I don't know, that highly successful people actually have these feelings once in a while. Does that make you feel better when you hear that?
Well, it must mean I'm a highly successful person then. <so. laughs>
And, you know, I think it really hits in people that are in groups that are underrepresented, like if you're a female and you're a scientist, usually you're in a sea of men because more men are in the science field than women are, and although that's changing in some areas. Or if you're a person of color, sometimes you can feel that way because you're a minority in a group.
Right. This imposter syndrome was identified in 1978 by psychologists Pauline Rose Clance and Suzanne Imes. They wrote a paper based on the idea that women were uniquely affected by imposter syndrome.
Yeah, and so they were looking at specifically women when they started this, but they've really taken this idea and they've put it to all people. So it isn't just about women anymore. But the idea was when they were looking at this, if you don't feel like you fit that role, if you feel like you're not really belonging to a group and you lack a lot of confidence, that's what they were looking at.
So really it's a lack of confidence that can create this feeling of being an imposter.
Yeah, and you know, I teach medical students, and so you have to be really bright to get into medical school, right? And the road to becoming a physician is really a pretty tough one when you consider the amount of information that they have to learn in a really fast time, and the pace is just so quick. What happens, Chris, is many of them will come in and they lose their confidence immediately. And it is not uncommon for a medical student to say, I wonder if they made a mistake on the admissions. I wonder if I shouldn't be here, or I'm just a fraud. Maybe
right.
They're going to find out that I'm really not that smart. So it is something that very highly accomplished people often struggle with. And I think that, you know, maybe what they're feeling is it's not quite a lack of humility. Hmm. So we're not talking about they just don't have humility. We're really talking about this idea that somehow you're just a fraud in what you're doing. And that's really at the heart of what this imposter syndrome is all about.
Well, just like the medical students might feel that you mentioned, aren't we all pretty good at bottling up our insecurities and putting on a brave face?
Yeah, and that's part of the point, right? We don't like to say out loud what we're really feeling. It's, you know, it doesn't make us good to say, oh, I feel like a fraud right now. I mean, you don't really say that out loud to people, do you?
Typically
well,
not,
you
no.
do sometimes tell me that, if we're honest about that. But, you know, it's really healthy to own up to things that you're struggling with, your flaws, your mistakes. I mean, we all have them. So why don't we just acknowledge them now and then and then learn and then grow from them?
Right. Well, I do want to go back to something you said that's important. You mentioned the importance of humility, but feeling like an imposter is not really about humility. It's failing to recognize your own giftings and strengths that God has given you, and really you're doubting where He has placed you.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up again because I think I was a little confusing before, but that's really the key. It's not that we're saying that you have to be all about your accomplishments and you have to believe that you're really great. We're not saying that. But you also don't want to do the opposite of that, which is to really undermine the opportunities and the success that you might have by allowing your thoughts to get into this doubt creating and feeling like you're always uncertain about what you're doing. Mm.
And even though this idea of imposter syndrome began with research involving women, it is experienced by both men and women.
Right. And if you're constantly thinking things like, you know, I have no right to be here, or people are going to see me for what I really am, they're going to know that I don't know what I'm doing, those types of thoughts that are constantly questioning your abilities or your achievements will get in the way of you getting things done. And they'll kind of paralyze you. And that's really what imposter syndrome is all about. And like you said, it happens to both men and women. But I have to tell you, I did take a job one time and I was an imposter.
You what?
I really was. It was when I was in college, and Norm, our producer, probably remembers this. I needed to have a part-time job, and so I convinced this company to hire me, even though I had none of the skills.
Well, a truck driver, right?
No.
You wanted to be a truck driver.
It was actually a typing job in bulk. I mean, it was other things. I had no idea how to type. So when they asked me to take the typing test, they put this typewriter in front of me, and they said, okay, go ahead and do the test. You know how they time you for the minutes?
Right.
And it was really old, and I looked at it and said, oh, that's really an old typewriter. I don't think I can type on that. And they let me skip the test.
Oh, wow.
And then they hired me. So here's the difference. I really wasn't qualified for that job, and I was an imposter. But that's not what we're talking about.
That's right. Well, as it turns out, Dr. Linda, I really am a radio show host. I'm not an imposter, and we need to take a short break. So I will be confident in my ability to throw to the break and bring us back on the other side. Stay with us as we talk more about imposter syndrome and how this develops. Are you or someone you know at risk?
Is every spare minute of your life filled with some activity, event, or demand? If so, you could be suffering from a very common American disease. It's called overcommitment, and it has seeped into every area of our lives. I'm Dr. Linda, the relationship doctor, and yes, I'll admit it, I've fallen prey to overcommitment in my life just like I imagine you have. Saying no occasionally is the best defense against overcommitment. But if it's too late and you're already overcommitted, here's a little tip to help you make it through. In the busiest days, you can still stop and take five. Just for yourself. When your heart is racing and your thoughts are whirling inside your head, your effectiveness just plummets. But if you'll pause right in the middle of all the hubbub, maybe close your eyes, breathe deeply, and remind yourself that the current task will be completed, you'll feel an immediate sense of relief. Then you can head back into the job at hand with renewed focus and energy. And when the next chance comes to overcommit, it comes your way, you can work on your priorities by just saying, hey, no.
Welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and today we're talking about imposter syndrome. If you want to explore more topics on relationships and mental health, go to Dr. Linda's website, drlindamental.com. There you will find blogs and ways to connect with Dr. Linda on social media. And I encourage you to check out her website and sign up for her free e-newsletter that comes out once a month. And back to our conversation, Dr. Linda, about imposter syndrome. How does this develop in a person? I would think that one factor is the incredible pressure in our culture to perform and be successful.
That is one of the factors. So the pressure to achieve and to never fail. And boy, we see that a lot more today, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
And one of the reasons is that if you fail or you make a mistake, it can go all over social media.
Well, there's a blog called Fail Blog.
There is?
And it's tons of videos of people just messing things up. Now, it's meant to be funny.
Oh, okay.
People falling on ice or dropping stuff on themselves, that type of thing. But failure is highlighted.
Yeah, well, I think when people put it up there not to be funny, but just to highlight your own problems, that social media can really add to this problem.
Right.
And then I think if you're part of a group that differs from the majority of your peers, then you sometimes have this feeling inside of you that you really don't fit in, you really don't belong, there's something wrong. So that can be a factor. I was trying to think of where have I seen that before, and again, I'm going to go back to using the medical students because I've, you know, I work with medical students. A lot of medical students come from families of doctors, and so they're very familiar with what it takes to be a doctor, and they've had parents who, you know, one of them maybe is a doctor, and they know sort of what to expect. And then you get these applicants who have never had anything to do with being a doctor, and they're suddenly thrust into this new world. It's all very foreign to them, and a lot of times they do feel like an imposter in that world because it's so different from what they were raised in. So that whole idea of being different in a group can contribute to this. And then, Chris, you know, sometimes it has to do with parents who send their children mixed messages. And one minute they're praising their kids because they did something really great, and then they're criticizing their kids in the next one. And children really learn then to equate their worth and their abilities with love and approval and worthiness. It's all mixed up. You know what I'm saying? It's like, if I don't perform, then somehow I'm not good enough. And they develop this feeling of not being good enough. They think, oh, I need to be successful to be loved. So if your self-worth is tied to achieving, that really can be a risk factor for this syndrome.
And, you know, unfortunately, I think a microcosm of this is the 7 innings that takes place during a Little League baseball game. Because parents will congratulate and yell and congratulate and berate their own kids on the baseball field as youngsters. You see this a lot.
I mean, you have to be really careful, I guess, is what I'm saying as a parent, to not equate the child's worth with what they're doing and they're performing.
Right.
You see that a lot in parenting. I don't think parents do that intentionally, but I think, you know, we're so into this culture of having the achieving child and being the best at everything we can that I think this is really one of the factors.
And I would think that if you move into something new, we're talking probably more about adults here, when you don't quite have the confidence because you're in an uncertain territory, that can lead to these feelings.
Yeah, so if you're taking on a really new challenge like the medical students are, there's a fear that can pop into their head that you really might not have what it takes. We have this natural apprehension anyway when we want to do something new. But if you're really striking out into a new territory, a new area, maybe a new job, maybe even a new field, and you're in that field at the very beginning, you do feel like you might be an imposter. I'm thinking about when I first started doing therapy, I mean, lots of years ago.
Right.
I remember thinking, oh, I need to give these people a refund because I'm so new at this.
Right.
And I probably have no idea what I'm doing. I really did feel like an imposter when I started.
Do you remember your first session thinking, what am I doing here?
Yes, exactly. And like I said, it went on several months where I thought, wow, at some point, do I offer a refund if this doesn't work out? Because, you know, I was so new at it. So it was a new challenge that really did that.
Well, you know, one of the many experts on this topic is Dr. Valerie Young. And she has categorized different subgroups of people who experience imposter syndrome. And these are helpful when it comes to wondering if we might be at risk.
Yeah, I really liked these. So I looked at her blog, and this is taken from her book, actually. The book is called The Secret Thoughts of Successful Women, While Capable People Suffer from the Imposter Syndrome and How to Thrive in Spite of It. That's a long title.
It is, yeah.
It might be the subtitle there. But she spent decades researching this topic. So you know how some researchers just pick something and they really stay with it. And she discovered in all of this research that there are sort of 5 categories of people that really could be more at risk based on their characteristics. So I thought it would be good, Chris, if we just spent the rest of the show going through these 5 traits or these 5 characteristics. And then as you're listening, start thinking, am I in that category? Could I be at risk for this? And we're going to ask you some questions that'll kind of help you think this through. So the first one is the perfectionist. We all know what perfectionists are. They set very high expectations for themselves. And even when you meet your goal maybe 99% of the time, you still have an issue with the fact that you didn't do it completely and you feel like a failure. So any small mistake will make a person question their confidence.
So even if you get it right, most of the time, that one little time you get it wrong, this would make you more susceptible to imposter syndrome.
If you have this perfectionistic personality is what she's saying. So the tendency that she said is if you're always wanting to be perfect, you can really see how easy it would be to say to yourself, I'm not perfect, and therefore I must not be good enough, and maybe I'm an imposter. Perfectionists, you know, have a high bar that they're setting for themselves. And when they fail to reach that, then they experience more self-doubt and they have more issues with it. So it really does fall into that category.
And this can also result in needing lots of control, feeling like if you want something done right, you just have to do it yourself.
Yeah, so I think that's key. And if you're wondering about this one, here's the questions I would ask. Have you ever been accused of being a micromanager?
Yes.
So that's kind of a perfectionism thing. Do you have great difficulty delegating? So it's kind of like micromanaging, right? Even if you do delegate, do you feel really frustrated when you do because people aren't doing it the way you want them to do it? Another question would be, when you miss the mark on something that you've set for yourself, do you say to yourself, oh, I'm just not cut out for the job, I couldn't do this, and you think about it over and over and over again? And then finally, a question I would ask on this one is, do you feel like your work has to be 100% all the time? Can you relax if it's not?
Well, so far, I'm 4 for 4. Is this program about me, Dr. Linda?
It could be.
Well, when perfectionism is a problem, you don't ever really feel satisfied, and you might constantly think that you're
yes.
fake.
Yes, so that's it. That's the key right there. That's the connection, because you believe that it could always be better, right? But that's not healthy, obviously, and that leads to feeling stressed all the time. And it's also how people burn out over time, because it's really hard to try to be a perfectionist. You really have to change your expectations. That's the key, and not have such a high or unrealistic expectation of yourself all the time.
Well, Dr. Young's second category is called experts.
And here's what she says about that type of person. She says, experts feel the need to know every piece of information before they start a project. Boy, you would never start if that was the case, right?
No, you couldn't. Right.
But that's what she's saying. And she says they're constantly looking for new certifications or training or some way to improve their skills. They might not apply for a job if they don't meet all the criteria in the posting. Well, that's interesting. Like you read through a job description and you think, oh, I don't have that skill. I don't have that skill. I might not have that one. Or they might be hesitant to ask a question in class or speak up at a meeting because they're afraid to look silly or stupid or like they don't already know the answer. So experts measure their competence based on what and how much they know or can do. And they believe they're never going to know enough. And so when they don't know enough, they feel like an imposter.
Well, we can all relate to this, feeling like we don't know enough to do the job. And are there questions to ask to see if you fit this category?
Okay, so listen again. So let's see what you think of these.
Okay.
So do you shy away from applying to job postings because you don't meet every requirement? That was one we just asked.
Mm-hmm.
Are you constantly seeking out trainings or certifications because you think you need to improve your skills in order to succeed? Even if you've been in your role for some time, can you relate to feeling like you still just don't know enough? And do you shudder when someone says you're an expert?
I'm only about 1 for 4 on that one.
Okay, good.
Interesting.
Okay.
Well, what are some strategies, before we go to the break, that we can use to deal with this issue?
Well, you just have to rest on the fact that you probably have enough to get started, and you have to learn that, you know, it's a process, and you don't have to know everything in order to jump in. So it's really looking for help, but not feeling like you always have to know everything to move forward.
Does it help to talk to someone when you feel this way? I'm thinking maybe this could be shared.
I think it really does help to talk, because it's normal to experience some self-doubt when you're trying to do something new or you're looking ahead, but you just don't want that to control all your actions.
As it turns out, Dr. Linda, I'm an expert of being able to throw to a break.
Ah.
So stay with us as we reveal some other traits that may tell you if you're suffering from imposter syndrome. It might help you or someone you know. More after the break.
The news these days is full of so many sad, depressing, or downright frightening things that cause us to go through our days with frowns on our faces and a cloud over our hearts. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mintel, the relationship doctor, and I've got a suggestion for you to help ward off the heaviness that you might be feeling. The Bible is clear. Laughter does good like a medicine. One clear antidote for heaviness is to increase the laughter in your life. While my friend was battling cancer, she made it a regular habit to watch all the wonderful old comedy movies she could find. Laughing with her husband allowed them both to enjoy a rush of endorphins and precious moments together. Now, I'm not telling you that laughter alone will solve everything, but it will clear out the gloom. Reading God's word and living in His promise is our best armor. But having a good laugh every day will help keep your focus off those things you can't control. It'll cut down on your wrinkles and increase your trust in the God who rules your world and the world around you. Conflict is a part of every healthy relationship. How you deal with conflict is what will either grow or destroy relationships. Do you avoid? Maybe you become highly emotional and then regret what you said or did. Getting control of our emotions is not always easy, but it is possible. Hi, this is Dr. Linda Mintel, and I wrote the book, We Need to Talk, in order to help all of us deal better with conflict. We Need to Talk, available at bookstores and online where books are sold.
You're listening to the Dr. Linda Mintel Show, and Dr. Linda has written numerous books on many of the topics we discuss on this show. Check out books and blogs on her website, drlindamintel.com, and follow her on Twitter at Dr. Linda Mintel and other social media as well. Okay, Dr. Linda, the third category that could set you up for imposter syndrome is called natural genius. Probably not a category either of us would claim to be a part of, but I do know some people who seem to be intuitively smart and can do almost anything.
Yeah, I don't think I would fall prey to this one, feeling like I'm a natural genius. But I do know people who are very good at things, and it does come very natural to them, and they're very smart, right? When you have that tendency, which you and I are trying not to be envious of,
right.
the struggle really is that you might have to really work hard to accomplish something. And when you do work hard to do it, you sort of feel like, man, what's wrong with me? Why am I having to work so hard at this?
Right.
Maybe I'm really not that smart, and maybe I'm really an imposter.
Yeah, because my coworker seems to be doing just fine with this. Why is this such a struggle?
Yeah, so they judge their competence or their worth based on how easy or how fast they pick up on something as opposed to their efforts. In other words, if it takes you a long time to master something, then you tend to feel shame. And so people with this kind of trait feel like they have to get things right on the first try because of how smart they are. And when they can't, that imposter alarm goes off.
Sounds a little bit like perfectionism. How can we know if this is us?
Well, so here are some questions with this one that the doctor posed. She said, do you have a track record of getting straight A's or gold stars in everything you do?
Hmm.
Were you told frequently as a child that you were the smart one in your family or peer group?
Yes.
You
are. Right.
Chris is okay.
Pretty low bar to work with, but yeah.
Do you dislike the idea of having a mentor because you can handle things on your own? When you're faced with a setback, does your confidence tumble because not performing well provokes a feeling of shame?
I am guilty of that.
That one?
Yes.
Okay. And do you often avoid challenges because it's so uncomfortable to try something you're not great at? And boy, you can see that in kids.
True.
You know, the kids that are like gifted in sports or something, you
right.
can see that when you try to get them to do something else to broaden them, they're very uncomfortable because that's not the thing they're good at.
Right. Well, how do you move past this? Because biblically, we need to see ourselves as a work in progress, not someone who has arrived.
Yeah, and I think understanding that accomplishing great things involves lifelong learning.
Hmm.
And this is what I say all the time to young people. It's lifelong learning and skill building. Everybody isn't confident at everything they do, and you have to practice, practice, practice. And we have to be dependent on God as well. And I think that's an important point to say, that we do want to have our dependence on God, not on our own abilities all the time. We don't want to get puffed up because of our natural giftings. Rather than beating yourself over the head when you don't reach an impossibly high standard, just identify the specific, the changeable behaviors that you can improve on over time. Stay humble in that process, but confident that God's going to help you get through and be the best you that you can be.
Well, this next category is one that many of us could possibly relate to. It's called being a soloist.
Yeah, Dr. Young says that soloists feel that they have to accomplish tasks on their own. And if they need to ask for help, they think that that means they're a failure or a fraud.
Hmm.
So don't you think that some of us feel that we have to figure things out all by ourselves?
To me, it's a borderline arrogance of some sort.
Well, I don't know, Chris, because when I think about my dad, he could always get it done and get it done right. And right. so sometimes he would just do it on his own and not involve other people. So I think there's this idea that I know what to do, I can do it, and then I'll do it on my own.
I see. It's okay to be independent, like you said, but not to the extent that you refuse assistance so that you can prove your worth. And that's the arrogance I'm talking about.
Okay.
People will put their fist down and say, I am not asking for help.
Yeah. Yeah. I see what you're saying. Mm-hmm. So here's a couple of questions you could ask on this one. Do you firmly feel that you need to accomplish things on your own? I don't need anyone's help, just like you were saying. Mm-hmm. Do you frame requests in terms of the requirements of the project rather than your needs as a person?
That's interesting, because you can begin to complain about things and it's not the project's problem, it's yours.
Yeah. So let's go to the last one because we're running out of time here. How about the Superman or Superwoman? That's Dr. Young's final category. She says people who push themselves to work harder than those around them to prove that they're not imposters. She says that they feel the need to be successful in all aspects of their life. So they have to be good at work, good at parents, good at anything that they pick up, and they feel stressed when they're not accomplishing something.
Well, if you're not sure you're this one, there are some questions you can ask to see if this applies to you.
So here would be some of them. Do you stay later at the office than the rest of your team, even past the point that you've completed the day's necessary work? Do you get stressed when you're not working and you have trouble finding downtime? You think it's wasteful? Have you left your hobbies and passions because you're always sacrificing everything for work? And do you feel like you haven't truly earned your title despite all the things that you've done? You feel so pressured to work harder and longer than those around you to prove your worth. Well, listen, if we're honest, we probably have elements of all of these things in our lives to some degree. If you've experienced these feelings at any point in your life, today, just take the opportunity to start accepting and embracing your capabilities. Stay humble, but be confident in the Lord who has equipped you to do the things that He has put in your hands to do. Don't be derailed by imposter syndrome. It's not healthy thinking and will prevent you from being the person God needs you to be. Don't allow fear to stop you from giving your best. Well, that's all the time we have today. Many thanks to our producer and social media director, Norm Mintel, our engineer, and my co-host, Chris Weigel, who makes this show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're here, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone. You and I can make everything a little better. Doing life together. Well, thanks for listening to this conversation from the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and helping us grow the impact of the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. Also, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and you'll never miss a show.